They tell you white privilege is real. Then a black WNBA player puts on an ugly blonde wig, clotheslines a white woman on national TV, gets ejected, and then immediately cries,
"White privilege!"
from the locker room. Folks, the script isn't just flipped, it's been set on fire, and they still expect you to clap along. So let's break this one down. Today, we're looking at the latest chapter in the WNBA soap opera that most people never even watched until a couple of white women dragged it into the spotlight. Chicago Sky's Deajani Carrington got ejected after delivering a hard, flagrant two foul on Indiana Fever's Sophia Cunningham with an arm across the head and neck on a fast break layup. Cunningham hit the floor, got up, and confronted her. Officials reviewed it, upgraded it, and rightly so, sent Carrington packing. Minutes later, from the locker room, Carrington posts, "White privilege," tagging the Fever. Cunningham's response was straightforward, that this has nothing to do with race. Last year, she did something similar and got ejected too, and she clearly deserved it. But here's where the script gets flipped. Carrington is out there in an ugly blonde wig, straight up appropriating white culture and aesthetics, while swinging at a white woman on the court and then crying, "White privilege," the second the consequences land. If the narrative is that white people and white culture are the root of all evil, then why the blonde wig? Why copy the look while attacking the people who have it? The double standard is glaring. Maybe Sophie should show up in an afro next time, just to drive the hypocrisy home. That would be peak theater, and it would expose the selective outrage insanity. Sophie Cunningham has been outspoken against biological males competing in women's sports, much like former collegiate swimmer Riley Gaines. Gaines jumped on the situation and called it out exactly for what it is. Black privilege.
The white privilege comment. I would actually say that this is black privilege, to be totally honest with you, because her posting this white racist comment right after assaulting Sophie Cunningham on the court is actually black privilege, because she knows the WNBA won't do a single thing of significance about it. And imagine if the roles were reversed. If Sophie made a comment similar to this, then she'd likely never play again.
Gaines is absolutely right. The selective enforcement and the protected narrative creates a real privilege dynamic that the white privilege slogan papers over. And while we're on the lunacy of the gender ideology infecting sports, former NBA player Enes Kanter has officially declared for the 2027 WNBA draft, arguing that if self-identification is enough under the current vague inclusion approach, he meets every requirement.
After careful consideration and reviewing the current eligibility guidelines, I am officially declaring myself a WNBA prospect. If simply declaring who you are is all that's required, then I meet every single requirement necessary to compete in the WNBA. My team and I have carefully examined the WNBA's eligibility criteria and governing framework surrounding self-identification and inclusion. Based on the current guidelines, I can and am officially declaring my eligibility for the upcoming WNBA draft in May 2027.
It's officially official. I just declared for the 2027 WNBA draft in April. Join me in this journey.
Enes Kanter Freedom decided he's going to throw his hat into the WNBA.
The WNBA does not ban men who identify as women right now from playing in the league.
He would dominate the WNBA without batting an eyelash.
The number one prospect in the history of the WNBA.
Former NBA star Royce White followed suit with his own declaration.
You know, right now I'm just having a blast in my feminine era. I never thought that I was a woman. You know, I've always trusted the science, and I thought I was a man my entire life. But, you know, after further review, a strong look at my personal preferences, it would appear that I am indeed sometimes identifying as a transgender woman. And I think it's only fair I get a chance to play with some of my queens here in the twilight of my career, my athletic prime.
Imagine the visual. Grown men who dominated in the NBA, walking into the WNBA under the same rules that some activists demand for trans-identifying males. It exposes the absurdity in one move. Either the rules protect a female category based on sex, or they don't. The league's own language leaves the door wide open for this absurdity, and these guys are walking through it to force the point. Now, in a classic spineless move, Fever coach Stephanie White, who previously coached Carrington, defended the hard foul.
I don't oppose the hard foul, but I also don't think that she intentionally went for the net.
Defending the opposing player who just flagrant fouled one of your own after the race card got played is peak institutional cowardice. Most people don't even watch the WNBA, but ratings and attention have spiked largely because of white stars like Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham, who bring skill and drama and a willingness to speak outside of the approved progressive script. The league rode that wave. While parts of its culture still treat any pushback or physical foul involving those players through a racial lens. Meanwhile, white privilege as a catch-all explanation is a myth. Outcomes differ across many groups for many reasons, like culture, family structure, crime rates, and individual choices. Not some invisible systemic force that magically explains every disparity, while ignoring Asian success, Jewish success, or the fact that white poverty and white working class decline exists in plain sight. So, blaming white privilege for a flagrant foul ejection is pure racial grievance theater. It substitutes a slogan for accountability. When the same framework allows one side to race bait without any real consequences, while the other side would face career-ending blowback, Gaines' black privilege observation lands harder than the original claim. The pattern is consistent. Hard foul, race card, institutional soft peddling, and media that either buries it or blames the critic as the problem. Meanwhile, the league keeps exposing its own contradictions on same-sex categories. So, this isn't about one foul or one post. It's about a culture that rewards grievance over merit and then acts shocked when the hypocrisy becomes too much to ignore. So stay sharp and question the narratives, my friends, and don't let them flip the script without pushback. Thank you so much for watching, guys. Be sure to click that like button and leave a comment. It really does help with the algorithms that are designed to stop this information from being seen. And if you like what you're seeing here, please consider joining me on Patreon for a monthly recurring contribution, or better yet, on Subscribestar, where you can join for 5 or 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever is within your means. Or you can do it directly on my website at pressfortruth.ca/donate. Thank you so much to anyone and everyone who supports my work in this way. So that's all for today, guys. Just wanted to bring that to your attention. Thank you again so much for watching. And as always, stay vigilant, keep fighting the good fight, and stay tuned. I'm going to have more video reports coming soon, God willing. This is Dan Dix reporting for Press for Truth. We all want truth. Truth will set you free.